Good morning and welcome to the High Velocity Radio Show, where we celebrate top performers producing better results in less time and ask them to return to learning. I'm Stone Payton, joined by Lee Cantor. How was your weekend, Lee?
It was awesome, Stone. I got to go to a gala for the Men's Health and Wellness Center for St. Joseph's Hospital.
Terrific. So did you raise some money?
Raised a lot of money. It's a brand new thing by Dr. Nick Shaw. He's a doctor of robotic prostate surgeon, and he's trying to start up this cool new men's wellness center for St. Joseph's Hospital.
Well, I had a rough weekend. They put me in charge of the money at church. Yeah. Well, actually, they don't let me anywhere near the money once it comes in, but I'm supposed to help get it in. And ever since I've been the grand poobah of the stewardship committee, we're down like $12,000 or something. The good news is I may be available for a Sunday morning show.
Good stuff.
So who's our sponsor this morning? Did we...
Were we able to wrangle up a sponsor? Yes, of course we have a sponsor. We are sponsored today by Todd Schnick and the Intrepid Group, the small business marketing shop that specializes in helping their clients master the art and science of getting and keeping profitable customers. Todd and his team can help you with a vast array of marketing services from strategic to tactical, including direct response programs specifically designed to bring you new, qualified prospects. Be intrepid, 678-560-6912, or go to their website, www.intrepid-llc.com.
Be intrepid. So, Lee, do you know what that means, intrepid?
No, of course not.
So. Well, I looked it up. It means resolutely courageous, fearless, bold. And speaking of bold and fearless, our first guest today invested over 30 years of his career leading sales, marketing, and business development efforts for the software and media industries. And I think we can all agree that working in that environment requires resolute courage. He launched his own advisory firm in 2005 to accelerate sales and marketing processes for emerging companies. As president of Integrated Marcom and managing director for Growth Answers, this gentleman leverages a deep belief in systems, industry-specific best practices, and the power of process to help clients find, keep, and grow their customer. Welcome to the show, Don Rigby.
Glad to be here.
I love that phrase, power of process. Tell us more about that.
People do, but processes get things done. And processes are part of a larger concept that I'm a big believer in, which is putting systems in place for everything that needs to be more predictable. Is there anything that business owners and stakeholders would love to see more predictable than their business development practices?
Yeah, I don't think so.
Agreed.
So what's changed, if anything? You've been in this, doing this kind of work for, 30, 40 plus years. Have you seen the terrain change?
Yeah, I guess I am older than dirt. I've been around for a few years, and I wish to goodness I had a tool that I'm now closely aligned with that I could have used 30 years ago. But you know what? What worked 30 years ago doesn't work today. What worked 20 years ago or 10 years ago doesn't work today. What works today is it really depends on who we're talking about here. But I do believe that processes need to be managed much tighter, much closer. 87% of the businesses out there don't even have their sales processes documented. And if it's not documented, how in the world can you manage it? And if you can't measure or manage, we're swimming. And there's too many businesses in that category. And I take it upon myself to cure some of that.
What about philosophically? Has there been a change in the business development process? Or is it now there's different tools that help the salesperson?
Well, I think there's both. There are new technology tools, and they're not even very expensive tools that allow for the better management of process. Is there philosophical changes? In my opinion, absolutely. The last thing anybody wants to do is to be sold on anything. But everybody wants to buy when it's part of an answer. That's a little cliche, so I apologize to bring that up. But the fact is, to make yourself more endeared to a prospect, You need to nurture your way in there, and that's a key word for me, and there's a spirit behind that. What you just have to understand is why people buy from whom. Once you understand that, it's an easier process for endearing yourself and getting yourself engaged with a customer. Once you're engaged and once people talk openly about their problems, then you can do something. Until then, you can't do anything. So, inside rapport, all things are possible. Outside rapport, yeah, you're selling.
So rapport, is that something that works across industries, or does it work better in certain industries?
I think rapport is consistent in every industry. I think there are some transactional activities that can happen by internet, but yet nobody buys anything from the internet unless there's some warmth generated that this is a safe place and this is a product that will satisfy your needs. There is a certain amount of rapport that happens in a non-human touch sales environment. And that comes down to creating some good messaging.
So what kind of clients are you working with?
If I say emerging companies, that might be elusive, and I don't mean to be, but I don't know how else to define this group of people that are smaller than what they will be. And I'm talking about owners and stakeholders of companies who have their life savings on the line, where failure is not an option. And I'm talking about companies that are under 50 employees, for instance. I'm talking about financial companies. I'm talking about insurance companies. I'm talking about staffing companies. I'm talking about any company that is positioned to grow and needs to grow to survive. And some of the owners are well positioned to do that with their own internal resources. Many are not. Many are not. And I just want to fill that gap.
What kind of mistake do you commonly see?
What hurts me the most, what I see out there, is companies that believe they have a true competitive advantage and they don't. And they bank their future on going to market with this message and it doesn't resonate. Guess what? It sounds just like their competition. Guess what? The prospect ends up being more confused than when they started. We need to separate yourself. Wait, here's another way to look at it. Most emerging companies operate within a hair's breadth of what I call commodity hell. Once you're part of commodity, you are going to be like everybody else. I've got to figure out ways to remove them from that space and allow them to win more often and be a lot more compelling. And I do that, and I love to do that, and I'm the most rewarded when that happens. Not financially, just this is what jazzes me here.
And you don't always do it alone. Tell us more about this growth answers group.
Thanks for asking.
Yeah.
When I go in and I put new processes in place and I automate many of those things, clients are grateful and they want me to go places where I really could go, but I shouldn't go. So what I've done is surround myself with people who do other things better than I do, such as Growth Answers is a consortium of subject matter experts, direct marketing, internet marketing, sales training, telemarketing, let's say search engine optimization, pay-per-click strategies, and a branding expert. All of us have become better marketers because of this alliance that we have created amongst ourselves. So when I need expertise and when clients need expertise, I could give them 50%, but they deserve 100%. And I have a resource group called Growth Answers that grants 100% subject matter expertise with systems and procedures and methodologies that outlast anything I can do outside of the space that I do business in. Do you follow that?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
And don't you also provide monthly or quarterly events at Growth Answers? Do you have any upcoming events?
Yes. The Georgia Club has become a HQ for Growth Answers. They're in the Galleria area. And we meet on a monthly basis, and we have these venues that we call Meet the Expert. And it's oftentimes a member. It's not always a member. It could be an associate. It could be an outside speaker. But the topic is always relevant, and it's about education. It's not about selling who we are, what our services are. We're there to educate and allow business owners to leave there with information that they might be able to apply right away. And it's a give forward process for us.
So who do you have upcoming?
Next October, I'm going to say the date is third Wednesday would be the 18th. That's a guess. There's a gentleman by the name of Zahir Palampur. He is the president of Azul Arc. He's been a founding member of Growth Answers. And his focus is on the internet and interactive marketing via web and multimedia presentations. So, and the web, I don't think anybody can deny this, the web seems to be kind of a hub of most marketing initiatives.
You don't think it's a fad?
Actually, I think everything you do marketing-wise needs to tie back into the website. And if not, then there's something fundamentally wrong in what you're doing.
Speaking of websites, how can our listeners get in contact with you and find out more about Growth Answers and these events?
Well, luckily, the domain name is similar to the name of the organization. GrowthAnswers, plural, .com would allow you to at least understand the three areas that we contribute in: business strategy, tactical marketing, and sales execution. And there is no other organization that I know of that's built on those three pedestals. Advertising agencies, they tend to focus on advertising, right? There are consultants, and there's this new phenomenon over the last 5-10 years of coaches, but nobody is really involved in execution to the degree that we are. We're a marketing execution firm, which is fundamentally different than agencies or coaches or consultants.
Don, before we let you go, here on the High Velocity Radio Show, we wrap every interview with our Return to Learning segment. Would you be kind enough to share with our listeners a mistake you've made somewhere in your career and what you learned from it?
I only have one? I probably made a handful, or two or three. If I was to boil down what you just asked and what have I learned in X years that I would recommend to other business owners, I would say seek objectivity. As a business owner, I have a blind spot. I have a lot of them. Stone, you probably have a few blind spots in your practice.
Nah.
I could tell you that you are emotionally attached to your business, which makes you less than objective about making decisions and about doing the right things, about seeing your customers objectively, seeing your competition objectively. You need to think about finding objectivity someplace. Trust in somebody. Could be a business coach. I don't have a coach, but I have a few consultants that I've worked with and invested in and feel good about what I've learned as a result. So I would advocate that business owners seek objectivity and make sure there's cross-industry experience from that source so that it's not so myopic from just the same industry they compete in. Let it be a broader cross-industry experience.
Sound advice. Thanks so much for joining us this morning, Don. Our next guest is president and chief catalyst for a sales performance consultancy, helping organizations drive their business objectives by leveraging the theories of change management, the science of Miller-Hyman sales methodologies, and the emerging technologies of social media. He has led sales organizations numbering from 5 to 400 sales professionals and is introduced to Miller-Hyman while managing one of the largest and most successful telecommunication resellers for MCI WorldCom. When he's not out teaching programs on LinkedIn, Fast Pitch, blogging, and other social media tools focused on the sales and marketing professional, this gentleman is completing a book on how to use social networking to bring your sales to the next level by leveraging what he calls the social media sales construct. Welcome to the fastest half hour in radio, Mr. Steve Cadley.
Well, thank you very much. Appreciate being here, Stone.
Hey, I love the title, Chief Catalyst. Tell us more about that.
Well, I chose that as opposed to Chief Cook and Bottle Washer, which is a lot of times what my role is.
So that was taken?
It was taken, yeah. It was something that I couldn't get my hands on. And so it's really about really trying to get the organization moving. So I partner with a lot of different consultants and a lot of different practitioners around what I do so that I need to help get things started. So as a catalyst about getting, whether it's helping them get their website started or getting the way they look at their system and their organization to change, it's about catalyzing them.
Well, and I know you're involved to some degree in change management, and we're no strangers to change management here on the High Velocity Radio Show, but I have to tell you, I was a little surprised to see it mentioned in the context of a sales performance consultancy.
Well, think about it. It's, you are looking at an organization from, whether it's a system, in this case a sales system, a group of salespeople that we oftentimes call a sales team, and you need to get this group of people to change the way they do business and look at it from a different perspective. And so what, as a sales performance consultancy, what we do is introduce different methodologies, different concepts. Your earlier guest was talking about process, and that's right on the mark. It's about utilizing and introducing process and then embedding it into the organization. So while you can take and introduce, here's your new methodology, Mr. Sales Team, you need to also have it such that you need to get it into the DNA of the people that are they're going to be implementing this change or implementing this process. Without that, you don't have anything other than just an event or a training event or a process or something that people can follow.
How do you get the salesperson to kind of buy in? Because sometimes salespeople have their own way of doing things.
A big stick.
That's what you use?
It's about you have the two approach. A lot of what we find in the sales profession is a lot of people will use a big stick, and that's not very productive. So it's about creating an environment that they see for themselves that adopting this approach is going to help them be more successful. It's about the carrot approach as opposed to the big stick approach. And having been in sales and led sales teams, as you see from my bio, it's about I've carried the bag. I know what it's like to be out in the field and making this happen and not making it happen. And I can say honestly that the methodologies that I introduced, particularly through Miller Hyman's work, have helped me make a lot of money over the years, so that helps me gain some credibility.
So what's the real focus of your firm? How are you different? There's so many sales consultancies, sales training programs out there. What makes you guys different?
Well, it's really about adoption, helping an organization increase the adoption. As opposed to other sales training organizations, it's looking at the organization, designing what it's going to take to move them from their current state to their future state. In this case, introduce and adopt the methodology, and I use Miller Hyman's methodology, strategic selling, conceptual selling, and working with them to not just do it as a training event, but then use the methodology and introduce the methodology and show them that when they start to use it, they'll be successful, and build a whole process around what's the adoption going to be, what's it going to take, and then giving the managers, giving the executives of the organization the tools to be able to coach and develop their sales organization and manage their sales organization so that they can make sure that the new methodology is being utilized. You have to inspect what you expect. So it's about creating tools so that they can inspect what you're expecting of your sales team.
Can you share a situation where you implemented this and they had a positive effect?
Well, I've done it in several teams, and I've done it with a team that was performing very poorly up in the Mid-Atlantic area, and we introduced the methodology of strategic selling from Miller Hyman that they were all over the place. The sales team that I adopted wasn't able to really didn't know how much they didn't know about their clients. So by helping them at least start to understand what they didn't know, because beforehand they didn't know what they didn't know. So now they started to understand what they didn't know, and they were able to build a process to uncover that data that helped them move the opportunities through to closure or to just back off, because we know selling time is such a limited time.
So that helped them, they were generating more sales or more productive use of the salespeople time?
Yeah, they were able to utilize their selling time much more effectively. And they were able to understand and build action plans, mini action plans, about how they can go and uncover the data. So a case of they might identify someone in purchasing, let's say, as the person who is going to be the buying influence, the economic buying influence. And it turns out that the purchasing person wasn't, in fact, that person. They were using someone else's budget. The person who really wanted it or could make it happen was was a VP in the organization or the chief, the CEO, and they were off target, and so they didn't get the data they needed, and then the deal all of a sudden unwound, and they just were surprised why.
So tell us about this social media sales construct.
Well, one of the things that I'm involved with, too, is there's two different things that I'll speak to, Stone, is that is as the chair of the Organization Change Alliance, it's a nonprofit organization of OD practitioners, organization development practitioners here in Atlanta, that really study change, and it's the learning center for choice of choice for OD practitioners here in Atlanta. So it's about the study of change and understanding more about how people, we as human beings, change or resist change. And one of the things I'm fascinated by is that the Web 2.0, as we hear, and the internet and social media is going to change the way we do change. And not only is it changing the way we do change, it's also changing the way we're going to be doing business development, the way we're going to be doing sales. Not entirely, because as your earlier guest had mentioned, that people still buy from people. It's about building rapport.
Yeah.
But it's about also leveraging this newer technology and emerging technology to expedite or to speed up, as we're on the speed show, right? Speed up your building of rapport so that you can help accelerate closing deals and building your relationships and uncovering the data, as I mentioned earlier, that you might realize now that you're missing. So all of this is the study of change and the study of the social media, the emerging world of social media, how this all ties together. And I talk about, we have things like LinkedIn, another one called Fast Pitch Networking. You have Facebook, MySpace, and any other number of things that are emerging here in the marketplace, Bebo for folks that are more in Latin America and Europe. And all of these social networking tools are all combined, are things that you can leverage to increase and enhance your business development efforts. It's not an end-all be-all, but it's something that you can use to augment what you're currently doing. And all combined, I call it the social media sales construct, which is the basis of the book, and how you leverage all of those different tools. Because it is about marketing, but it's also about interaction and communicating with your clients and your prospects more effectively in the online world.
How do you manage a lot of online networking can easily evolve into online not working? Unless you really manage it tightly. And there's so many social media groups. How do you know which are the right ones for you?
Well, that's a great question. And it goes back to what the focus of the organization is and what your focus is. If you are a senior citizen-focused company, meaning that you're going and building products or solutions for boomers, you're going to want to focus in on social networking groups that are more oriented around that generation and that age group.
So MySpace may not be a good fit.
I mean, MySpace, yeah, they're not too interested in seeing some of your party photos from your college days. However, there's other sites that are focused particularly on there, at that particular age bracket. And what I'm finding, so you start to focus in on, that's part of the work that I do, is helping you understand all the different sites that are out there and which ones you want to spend your time on. I'm at the point now, we're doing my research, is that it seems to be about five is about the max you can manage that I would recommend that you be associated with. Because if you focus on any more than that, you kind of get diluted, you're kind of all over the place, and you would spend more time doing that than you would actually doing your business. So,
and you're putting all of this advice in an upcoming book?
That's right. All that's all coming together in the book, and that's also part of the consulting practice that I do when I'm not doing my Miller Hyman and sales methodology approach.
So do you have a niche market? Is there a specific kind of client that you're working to serve?
Well, I'm working with clients that are probably, like Don, your earlier guest, is in the emerging space, but also technology and also in the 50, say, employees 50 and larger. Because they're really starting to grow. They've had some success. Now it's about taking it to the next level and starting to leverage all the different tools that are out there and available to you.
So what's the most difficult part about selling your business? When and why did these prospective clients of yours say no?
Well, they always say no more than I would like. Right? I think that's the case for all of us. A lot of it is that they say no because they don't understand the full breadth of it. And as a sales professional, we are all, in some level, educators. And we are all change agents. So it's about helping them understand the perspective of things. So it's about really more educational on the front end and educating them about and being more informational. So Web 2.0, social media, is about offering information and then slowly gaining the trust and confidence of your audience and your potential customers to that you know what you're talking about, so that it starts to say, they start to say more, you have something interesting there, as opposed to an outright no. If that helps, does that answer?
Yeah. Do you have any open enrollment classes coming up with Cadley Consulting Group or any events with the Organization Change Alliance that you'd like to let our listeners know about?
Yeah, actually, we have with Cadley Consulting, we're going to be doing a series of webinars that'll be coming on. That's on, you can find out more information on CadleyConsulting.com. And with OCA, we have the Organization Change Alliance, and you can get to that site by the organizationchange.org. And we have monthly meetings with Organization Change that really have different topics and different presenters talking about a different change theory. This past weekend, we had a group from Turner Broadcasting and talking about all the different interventions and different methodologies that they've been utilizing and how they've really impacted the growth of the organization.
Steve, it's our custom on the show to have each guest contribute to our Return the Learning segment to share with our listening audience a mistake they've made at some point in their career and what they've learned from it. Could we impose on you to do that for us?
Yeah, this is only a half hour?
yeah,
many. One of them, I think, would be round attitude. It's the time of when you are getting a lot of no's or getting a lot of concern about the market. It's about when you get to that place of being in worry, you get into what I'll refer to as a constricted place. You don't have that expanded idea of abundance. There is so much opportunity out there in the world. There's so much that you, as a solopreneur, as a corporation, as whatever entity it is that you're doing business development for, so much opportunity, so much need for what you do, being from that mindset can change your whole idea, your whole day, and your whole success rate. So my mistakes have been around getting into a constricted, fearful place that I'll never be able to get this going, to just staying the course, staying positive, even if I'm making it up. It's making it up about everything's great and that it's all going to come together has paid huge dividends in the long run. But I know when I haven't done that, I've had some really bad days, months, quarters, and even years. So that's one of my best learnings that I've had.
So how do you pull yourself out of that? And maybe more importantly, how do you pull your clients out of that mind funk?
Well, I pull myself out of that mind funk. There's this great single malt that I really enjoy. But no, seriously, it's really about taking time to... I go walk in the woods, believe it or not, and just get a perspective on the larger world in play. Or I go to Google Earth and look at how small we are in comparison to the overall world and so on. That helps shift my perspective. And for my clients, it's about talking about larger perspective, about shifting the client's perspective that there's so much opportunity, we just have to find a different way to get access to those opportunities and some creative approaches.
So if Lee or I get depressed, we can call you, yeah?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And we'll walk in the woods together.
Yeah, I'm going to have a single malt that I was talking about too. So.
Steve Cadley of Cadley Consulting Group, what a delight having you on the show today.
Well, thank you. It was a pleasure to be here and hope to get invited back. How did I do so far?
Marvelous.
All right, great.
Until next week, this is Stone Payton and Lee Cantor reminding you, there's no such thing as extra beer. Never, ever fry bacon in the nude. And faster really is better.